Hi, everyone. Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to the Washington Weekly Podcast on the UBS In The Now podcast channel. Joining me for the conversation today, glad to welcome back Shane Lieberman, Senior Governmental Affairs Advisor with Governmental Affairs U.S. here at UBS. Shane, as always, thank you for dropping by, spending some time today with our listeners and our clients. Welcome back.
Thanks, Dan. Good to be back with you.
So, Shane, heading into our conversation, we did have prepared a range of topics, developments up on Capitol Hill to the ongoing coverage of Decision 2024. Though, before we get into those topics, do you want to spend a moment addressing the developments from over the weekend, specifically on Sunday, where we did witness the second assassination attempt on former President Donald Trump, the second in as many months? I know as we're recording today here on Monday, September 16th, the developments remain very fluid. We're continuing to learn about additional information related to this story, though. What do you know that you can share with us at the moment?
Yeah, the perpetrator has been arrested and he appeared before court this morning. So he'll be charged with several crimes, mostly focused around guns. And, you know, the investigation is heating up, so we'll see what else they come up with. And there will probably be some additional charges. You know, I would say that the panel looking into the first assassination attempt was scheduled to meet today. So I think they're also going to get briefing from the Secret Service on this failed attempt. I know President Biden has also received a briefing. I think at the end of the day, this will continue the path for further funding for the Secret Service and their mission. You know, the Secret Service is stretched thin, and, you know, this these unfortunate events remind lawmakers about that stress they're under and gives a little bit of a sense of urgency to make sure the Secret Service has what it needs to execute its job responsibilities.
Well, Shane, thank you for that update. And of course, we'll continue to keep a close eye on developments surrounding this story. I do want to pivot a bit to Capitol Hill. During our last conversation, you did mention the focus of Congress passing a government funding bill to meet an October 1st funding deadline. Now, I do understand that last week a proposal was yanked off of the House floor by House Speaker Johnson. So as we're quickly approaching this October 1st deadline, where do negotiations stand today?
That's right. Last week, Speaker Johnson did not go forward with a vote on this government funding bill, which would have funded government operations for 6 months, so into 2025, while at the same time it would have included a measure to require proof of citizenship to vote in U.S. elections. But this vote was called off, as we mentioned. There was actually, you know, multiple issues or, you know, factions within the Republican Party that had concerns about the bill. You had hardline conservatives about, you know, spending. You had deficit hawks, defense hawks expressed concerns about what this bill would mean for the Pentagon. You also had moderates who were concerned about having a shutdown threat so close to the election. And that is where we're at, is less than 2 weeks from, you know, when this bill comes due and a potential government shutdown. You know, it's not a lot of amount of time for lawmakers to come together and get this done. I think what you'll see is probably a tough time this week coming up with a solution. Maybe the House is able to pass something, but the reality is whatever the House passes is probably going to be a partisan bill that won't advance in the Senate. And so the Senate will probably kick back a bipartisan option, and, you know, the House may have to accept it. The reality is Republicans know that a government shutdown would hurt their chances at the election this November, so they're going to try to avoid it at all costs. And, you know, I think Speaker Johnson is going to be put in kind of the corner, just as former Speaker McCarthy was, where, you know, some Republicans will think he's siding with Democrats. But the reality is for a bill to become law here, it has to be bipartisan, because that's the Senate is controlled by Democrats and as long as the White House as well. So this is going to be a little fluid, we'll say, for the next 2 weeks. But, you know, I'm a little skeptical that there'll actually be a government shutdown. I think in some form or fashion, government will be funded.
Well, Shane, thank you for that update, and we will continue to keep our listeners informed on the progress of these negotiations over the next couple of weeks. Though sticking with Congress, I understand there is also focus on the passage of a range of bills that restrict or perhaps shape a U.S. relations with China. So what can you share with us there?
Yeah, this package of bills to counter China's influence, you know, largely had bipartisan support, had some components to it that were more partisan. You know, in totality, it was about 24 different pieces of legislation. And I think you saw, you know, some excitement around the bipartisan components to it. And then, you know, during the partisan efforts, you know, Republicans support it. At the end of the day, what I'll say is that I think a number of the bipartisan components stand a chance of actually becoming law later this year. I think that they could be tucked into maybe the defense authorization bill or another item that will become law. You know, for the scope and breadth of these proposals, I mean, they run the gambit of, you know, healthcare to drones to agriculture. So, you know, they cover a lot of territory. You know, agriculture, a lot of concern about, you know, Chinese companies, you know, taking over some of the agriculture sector. And, you know, so one of the bills adds the Secretary of Agriculture to the CFIUS committee, which is a national security committee that, you know, essentially can nix, you know, mergers and acquisitions based on national security concerns. So, you know, that will be a very interesting component. I mentioned there's a bill dealing with drones. You know, so a lot going on here. And I think, as we probably talked about in the past, you know, being tough on China remains one of the few things that are still bipartisan in D.C., and this package shows it. So I think maybe the second question that I would kind of pontificate is, you know, if some of these bills become law, what will China's reaction be? And I think they'll feel the need to push back in some fashion on the U.S. So it's something worth following, I think, for a variety of reasons.
Well, always good to see an example of bipartisanship in motion, though, as you pointed out, Shane, these legislative developments carry with them a lot of implications, so we'll continue to follow this one very closely. So before we close out, if we turn to Decision 2024, as we're recording today, we are roughly 1 week out from the recent presidential debate between Vice President Kamala Harris as well as former President Donald Trump. It's important to note that early voting is set to begin this week in some states, including the key battleground state of Pennsylvania. So what are polls pointing to today, Shane, namely within these key battleground states?
That's right. You know, I think polls are starting to come out, but I think we're waiting a few more days because if you look at the life cycle of a poll, you know, they probably started polling last Wednesday, but I think the more accurate polls won't be a one-day poll. So I would imagine the better polls were in the field from Wednesday to Friday. And so that means, you know, we'll probably start seeing those poll results being released, you know, tomorrow or Wednesday. You know, I think there's no doubt that Vice President Harris won the debate. The question is, you know, one, how much damage did Trump do to himself? I don't think he lost, you know, really any support. The question to me is more, did she gain support from, you know, undecided voters, or more importantly, people who may be inclined to vote for her, but are looking for a reason to be enthusiastic about supporting her? And I think the main reason for them to be enthusiastic to support her was on the same day as the debate, but not the debate, which was Taylor Swift's endorsement of her. You know, I think that was well-timed for the Democrats because, as you mentioned, early voting is about to start. And that's the sort of thing that, you know, particularly encourages younger voters to vote. And I think we saw a little bit of evidence in that where, you know, Taylor Swift, as part of her endorsement, had a link to, you know, essentially sign up to vote. And I believe a couple hundred thousand people signed up within the first 24 hours of her posting that link. So I think we'll just say last week was a positive week overall for Vice President Harris. But, you know, about 7 weeks left to go here. And to your, more to your point, early voting is happening starting this week. So while maybe 7 weeks till the finish line, we're going to start seeing, you know, hundreds of thousands of Americans voting, if not millions, this month alone. So, you know, the finish line is in sight, and, you know, this race remains tight.
Well, it will be interesting to see what polling reveals over the next 24 to 48 hours, and we will, of course, continue with our close coverage of Decision 2024. Though, Shane, thank you again for dropping by today, spending some time with our listeners and our clients to keep them informed on these range of topics.
Thanks, Dan. Always good to be with you, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Shane. Again, today we have been speaking with Shane Lieberman, Senior Governmental Affairs Advisor with Governmental Affairs US here at UBS. Before we close out, I would like to remind our listeners and our clients, you may now locate the latest edition of the Washington Weekly publication available now up on ubs.com/Washington Weekly. From UBS Studios, I'm Dan Cassidy. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights, at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
As a firm providing wealth management services to clients, UBS Financial Services, Inc. offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC-registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC-registered broker-dealer. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that you understand the ways in which we conduct business and that you carefully read the agreement and disclosures that we provide to you about the products or services we offer. For more information, please review client relationship summary provided at ubs.com/relationship summary or ask your UBS financial advisor for a copy.